Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and more. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 16 years of broadcasting, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience and those tuning in online. We're glad you all could be with us as well. I'm so excited to welcome Nancy Starr to our program for this segment. She's written an amazing new book that I know you guys are going to really enjoy that I think not only allows us to look at ourselves, but also as we kind of get to introduce to these characters that she presents in Rules for Moving, we can kind of think about the world that we live in and how we can be a part of the change that all of us want to be able to see. With talk to Nancy not only about the writing of the book, but also what it's been like for her to share it with her readers, and of course what she hopes you're able to take away from it. Nancy, hello to you, and welcome back to the program.
Hi, Cyrus. It's so nice to be with you today.
Oh, the pleasure's definitely all mine. So here you are now with a brand new book, perfect for us now, for those of us who are scrambling, Nancy, trying to find the next thing to read, right, as we're spending more time reading and hopefully indoors. This book, I think, gives us so many different layers. We're going to get into this a little bit later, but what has this experience been like for you already, Nancy, to be able to see the way that early readers are responding to the book?
Well, it's been really great, and, first of all, I'm so excited that the book was able to reach readers because it did just come out last week, and it has been a challenge. Everything is really a challenge right now, right, for everybody in
right.
so many different ways. But it's really exciting to when a book reaches a reader, and when I hear back not only that the reader got what I was hoping, but maybe something I hadn't even thought of. So it's the most gratifying thing.
Well, I know that, they have definitely enjoyed it. I know I did as well. I'm going to be talking about some of those points. I want to go back to this journey for you, though, Nancy. You were on this program, it's hard to believe, a little over 3 years ago, which is crazy to even consider that it's been that long. with your book, Sisters 1, 2, 3. I mean, when did you realize, Nancy, for you that storytelling was something you wanted to do?
Well, I've always thought, and I think when we were together last time, I think I might have mentioned this, which is that when I had this memory of being in fifth or sixth grade, and there was a girl in the class who used to do these little biographies of all of the kids in the class, which was a kind of strange thing, and she would just tell us what we were going to be. She kind of looked into us, saw who we were, and gave us back what we were going to be. And so in my memory, she told me then that I was going to be a writer, which was really exciting because that was like my secret. But since we spoke last, I actually found the thing she wrote, my little biography that this girl wrote in fifth or sixth grade, and she said I was going to be an actress, which really made me laugh because one of the things I'm always looking at in my novels is memory and how, what is the memory that's the true memory or the felt memory. So the memory that I saved was that she said I was going to be a writer, and that wasn't exactly true, although in the end, being an actress or being able to inhabit a role is so much a part of what a writer does that she was right anyway.
Yeah. What an amazing, and I think too, you're able to create characters, Nancy, that are so real, even if, and I think, I may have alluded to this even in our first conversation, that even if we don't know the exact situations that your characters have experienced, we know the feelings that come from it. There's a really powerful scene in the book that I'm going to read a little bit later in chapter 16, where this really, I think, shows itself in a big way. I mean, is that one of the things that you love hearing from readers, that they're able to feel a connection to these characters?
That's the main thing. And to be honest, that's what I love to feel when I'm a reader. And so I think for lots of writers, storytellers are writing the stories that they themselves would like to read and want readers to respond the way that they respond. And there's a line in Elizabeth Strout's novel, Anything is Possible, I think it is, where a reader, a character buys the book of Lucy Barton that she wrote in the previous Elizabeth Strout book, and she reads this book and she feels like the book knows her. And I thought that said it so perfectly. When you read a book and you feel like the book knows you, it's just a very satisfying and exciting feeling to me as a reader and a writer.
Right. And I think, too, you know, for anyone who is thinking about writing, I think one of the things that they should want to be able to achieve as well. So let's talk about the main character that we meet in Rules for Moving. And it's so mm-hmm. interesting with Lane Meckler that, I mean, there is, of course, a physical move, but there also is something internally going on with Lane as well. How does this particular character come to you, Nancy?
Well, she kind of encapsulated two things that I was thinking about a lot, and one was that difference between our public and private faces and how yeah. all of us just put forth, without necessarily doing this in any way on purpose, the face that we want people to see and then what's happening beneath that. And then for Lane, that what went in on top of that, the layer on top of that, is that in her job, she's very much on the inside. She's an advice columnist, and a lot of people adore her advice column. But when she's not in her job, she really feels like an outsider. And I think that's also true for a lot of people. And it's the same part of that same thing, the person that we present, and then the person that's really, you know, the vulnerable person inside.
And I find for myself, and I'll talk around this, Nancy, because I never like to spoil things for people who have not had a chance to read or see something.
Thank you.
But, yeah, of course. Do you feel as though with Lane, one of the things that happens, though, is something, again, I've dealt with, I've realized it in my own life, I think a lot of our audience has too, that as they're moving through life, they leave themselves behind. Do you think that's one of the things that happens with Lane, is that she finds herself leaving herself behind?
Yes, that's exactly right. She's living, I always think of it, she's living at a distance from herself. And she gets used to it, and she's fine with it. And what changes for her is that, and then this is not giving it anything much away because this happens early in the novel, is that her six-year-old son stops speaking to everyone but her. And it's when she's a truly devoted mother. No matter what else is going on in her life, that is the most important person to her. And so she's willing to finally look in the mirrors, let's say, in order to help him. And I think that happens with people as well, that we can ignore things about ourselves until we see it affecting someone else we love. And then if we're lucky, we're willing to kind of face some difficult moments.
And that leads me to what I mentioned in Chapter 16 of the book, and I love the way that you talked about this when Lane is having to make some difficult choices. You write this, she would have had options if she were a different person, the kind of person who'd kept up with the editors who used to give her work, mm-hmm. the kind of person who'd meet them for lunch or drinks, who'd email now and then to see how they were, who'd post birthday wishes on Facebook and like their Instagram feeds, who sent over flowers for promotions and weddings and funerals. But she did none of those things. She'd let all her precious contacts drift away, even those who'd made a deliberate effort to reach out and keep in touch. And I think when I read that at that particular moment, Nancy, it came to me that a lot of times we all find ourselves in that situation. We know we should do something. But we don't do it. We're so busy in what we're doing. And I think we all have experienced that thing of, you know what, I need to call such and such. Or, you know, I need to let such and such know that they were on my mind. And then finding yourself alone with yourself. And then the next thing after that particular part of the book is the question, now what? What was that like for you to think about for Lane, the now what, when she was kind of by herself, when she needed someone?
Well, I think what made it easy was to think about it all in terms of this young boy, because I think we can do harm to ourselves unintentionally, but when we realize that that is could also harm another person, it's a whole other kind of situation. And it's funny listening to you read that, and thank you so much for the book. It really made me think about, I'm not in the business of trying to find anything positive in this time that we're in, but I will say that I think in the beginning of this current time that we are in, a lot of people, myself included, felt this increased urge to reach out to people that maybe we haven't spoken to in a really long time, people who we've lost touch with but who are really important parts of our lives, and I think that's been a very nice thing. I don't know if you found that same thing.
Oh, I have. I definitely have. And I think, too, the other thing I thought was so interesting about Lane with the times that we're in is that this time, for some, kind of eliminates the obstacles and excuses. because they're mm-hmm. in a fresh place, so to speak, where they mm-hmm. may have felt like they never had time to do certain things, and now
right.
they can't use time as the excuse for it, you know, and then
right.
it just really takes the effort, and that's what we see with Lane. Lane makes a decision, and she goes for something, even though, ironically, and again, I'll talk around this, it leads her back to her own life. What was that like? Did you know that was going to be a part of her story from the beginning, or was that something that evolved that her present situation was tied to the past?
Yes. So I'm not one of those writers who knows where things are ending up or necessarily where they're going. It's something I discover as I'm writing, and I'm writing in a constant state of surprise because I feel what's coming, but I don't know what it is yet. And so it's one of those driving in the dark, you see as far as your headlights go and not much beyond that. And, you know, there's a lot of hard work that happens when you finish a novel, the first draft of a novel, when you're writing like that, because then you have to go back, and now that you know, you have to write it a few more hundred times, let's say. but there's a lot of surprise for me along the way.
Well, I'll tell you, I think one of the great things that comes across is how the key to even what Lane is dealing with, and again, I'll talk around that, is dealing with her son can be tied to her own childhood. And I think thinking about that, I think also the other point to that, Nancy, and I think I can say it. Yeah, I can say it. So the other thing is that sometimes we forget that sometimes lessons can be learned from youth. What was that component like for you in this book?
Well, that's a lovely thing to say, Cyrus. I will, will say that there are, I think, three chapters in the book that are written from the point of view of Lane's son, Henry, the 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And it was important to me to put them in because he's only speaking to his mother, and we don't know a lot of what's going on in his head, and I wanted to let the readers come in a little bit into his head. And he sees the world in such a pure and concrete way. It's a little bit heartbreaking and sweet at the same time. And I think we can learn a lot from kids because they just are expressing what they're seeing without imposing any kind of complicated understanding on top of it. And they understand things wrong a lot sometimes, but they're just reporting what they see. So
right.
I really enjoyed writing those sections, and I think people have enjoyed, have been responding well to them.
Is that kind of the role that you see Aggie playing in a way of being able to share that connection?
Yes, she sees things in a very straightforward way because she has kind of, well, she represents to Lane somebody that Lane could be in the future, and she sees mm-hmm. her future in this person, in a mother who has
yeah.
a child who's slightly different and mm-hmm. and understands from that what the stakes are, how big the stakes are. And I think that's part of what makes her reevaluate how she behaves. I will say also that I've thought a lot about how Lane would do in this situation right now because she is a kind of social distancer by nature.
Right.
But I think she would have quickly realized what the consequences of that are, that we really need each other
yeah.
more than maybe she realized.
Yeah, and that's why, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot with that question, Nancy. I just thought
yeah,
about it, that there's that great dialogue with Aggie I'd made a note of with Lane where she basically says to Lane about how hard it is to have a son who's different. And I love this because it also says a lot about perspective, because in that chapter, as they're talking, the thing that Aggie says is that Griffin is the same as he always was to me. I still see the little boy, but other people,
right.
they see a scary man. And,
right.
and I think that our perspective is sometimes colored by how we see people or how we choose to see them, right?
I mean,
and I think that's one of the big things definitely that Lane sees. You mentioned, of course, not scripting this, and I think that has to be probably a fun and scary thing to do, Nancy, with a story like this. Can you talk around maybe what one of the big surprises for you may have been?
Well, I mean, I didn't know where Lane and Henry would end up, so that was a really important
okay.
thing because in the whole novel there, Lane has moved a lot in her life, and you're right, the moving in that we look at in the novel is both external moves and internal moving, but I really wasn't sure of where she would end up, where she's looking for a house to be a home. She's never really felt at home anywhere, and so that was really tricky. But when I found the right place, it was clearly right, and that's really how it goes. And it's not so much fun to write when you don't know where you're going. There's a lot of anxiety in that, like, where am I going? But in the end, I feel like it keeps the surprise in the book, and if I have the surprise as I write it.
Got you. Well, that's a cool thing. I mentioned to you before we begin the segment that, of course, all of us are having to shift things, as Lane was able to shift things for her own self. You, though, have been able to stay connected with your tribe, Nancy. So talk to us about that. How has social media kind of helped you during this time as you are finding new ways to be able to share the book with readers?
Well, one thing I've noticed, and you may have noticed it as well, is that people are commenting more. So whereas, you know, in the past, you know, people might like something, but now people are commenting. So I think everyone is looking for a way to connect. Wherever we can find it, we want to connect. And then, of course, there's Zoom, so we're all Zooming all over the place. And and even though it will, for me, never replace a face-to-face encounter, I really like to look at a real face in a room. You really still can make connections, and you can actually connect with people in geographical areas all over the place. So, you know, of course I'm trying to make the best of it, and there's a lot to make the best of it with.
Yeah, for sure. I think that is so true. I'm going to ask you a question that I'm sure you're getting all the time already, is with these characters, I won't even say just with Lane, but with these characters, do you feel as though there's more story there you'd like to tell?
Well, I do, but I don't know that I will, but I definitely do. And I think that happens with every time I write a novel, because I've lived with the characters for so long. So now that this novel is out in the world, I certainly walk around thinking about how Lane would react to different things, because she's still so present in my head. But what happens to that, I can't tell you.
Oh, sure. I get it. Well, we have something to look forward to for sure. For those who have not had a chance to get it already, Rules for Moving is available through our friends at Amazon.com. You guys can get it there. Order it from your favorite bookstore. Most of them probably are doing it online. You all can definitely check that out. And Nancy, how can our audience stay connected with you?
I am on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, Nancy Starr Author. And I have a website, also Nancy Starr Author. So, you know, I'm really happy to talk to anyone on any of those platforms. And, you know, find me for a book club. Everybody's Zooming book clubs now, so that's fun too. But I really am always so happy to hear from readers.
All right. So make sure you guys are staying connected with Nancy. Nancy, it was great to have you back. Again, it does not seem like it was 3 years ago, but we are glad that you're back with us and looking forward to our next conversation together.
Thank you so much, Cyrus. It's really so much fun to talk to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Definitely want to thank our mutual friend, Kathleen Carter, for setting up this chat with us for today. And thank all of you for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Let's make the day amazing.